War, of course, against Poland was very quickly over. They called it a blitzkrieg, which means, you know, a very quick war. Yeah. And after that, the war was in the West. And being so far in the East, we didn't get the bombing like they all did on, along the Rhine and in Berlin and in the main part of Germany. So we were really quite lucky until about 1944.
And how old were you then?
18. By 44, I was 18 years old.
So the war suddenly descended on you around the age of 18.
Yes.
And what happened? Russia came down, did they?
Yes. Well, gradually, of course, the Germans, after Stalingrad, the Germans started to lose, having to fight on both fronts. They didn't have enough troops. And the Russians gradually pushed the German army further and further back until they reached East Prussia. Well, when I was 19, I went to university. I was a medical student. And because of the university and the anatomy being bombed out, we had to finish our studies and we just had to go and help in the military hospitals.
Right.
At first, a little bit of cleaning and helping, but we soon had to take over because we were very, there wasn't enough staff. There was, in the end, not even enough equipment. We had paper bandages and used toilet rolls because we had too many wounded arriving, and they started to tell us that the Russians were pretty close, although on the news we never heard it because people were not told the truth. And there wasn't a proper evacuation of any kind. People just started to disappear.
Disappear.
In other words, they started to pack their bags and try and get out.
And now this is what you did then at this point.
Yes.
And what? How did you get out?
Well, how did you get out? You just walk. But it was winter time. We had 10 and 15 degrees below zero. So I decided, at first I wanted to go together with my sister who worked for the Red Cross, but somehow we lost contact, so we couldn't. And the rest of my family was scattered too. My father must have already left anyway. I found that.
Were you all living separately at that point?
Yes, because my mother was evacuated because they did start to bomb Königsberg.
Yes.
So she was evacuated. My brother was evacuated with the school because he was only 16. So they were evacuated to the school.
And so you lost links with them at this point?
Yes, I'd already lost it.
And how did you feel about losing those links?
But I just felt when they started to tell us that the Russians were so close and the soldiers told us what had happened to villages which the Russians had occupied, but then the Germans had re-entered and what it looked like. Well, descriptions of that was enough to make me want to go.
Yes, but were you worried about the other members of your family, where they might be? Or
I was,
for their safety?
But I felt, on the other hand, I felt it was no good going to look for them or getting in contact with them.
It was that urgent, the situation.
Yes,
yes.
Yes,
I can understand.
You just had to decide to leave, because if you didn't, you knew you would be lost. And I think my mother was always very concerned about that, because already before she was evacuated, she gave me some poison. She gave me some cyanide in a small phial, and she told me if suddenly the Russians should break through, I should go, and I should have this on a string round my neck. And it would be something which would help me if the Russians get hold of me. And I must say, I carried that right through my refugee years.
Do you still have it now?
No, I haven't. But it became a talisman. And whenever I was frightened or so, I used to put my hand on my chest and touch it. And, even in years later, whenever something happened, I always seemed to be sort of touching my chest, as if it was still there, but it wasn't, of course.
No, goodness me. Yeah, well, let's move along. Can you read the passage in your book that describes this period of when you were a refugee, when you were escaping, and the things that you saw along the way?
Well, one of the parts we had to cross was what we called it the Huff, which was actually a lake dividing the Baltic and the land, because the Russians had already encircled us. And they knew we were refugees, but they still started shooting at us. And, of course, if the ice breaks, the carts and the horses just disappear. So I wrote this little passage.
Yes, read this passage for us.
It creaked under the wheels and the horses' hoofs, and we were worried that the ice might break. Right and left from our staked-out path lay the sacrifices from the last few days. Sunken carts, horses which had either frozen to death or been shot to save them the last suffering death. But the worst things, were the human bodies, frozen stiff and lying in grotesque positions on the ice. I avoided looking to the side because I started to feel sick with fright.
Yeah, well, goodness me, that's very descriptive. And I had the great privilege of speaking to Helga
You can't get my name, can you?
Jihadi, Helga Jihadi, who's written her autobiography, which is entitled Helga, and it's all about her flight as a refugee. And where from did you go? From East Prussia through Germany?
Yes, and then where eventually started off from Königsberg and finished up in Greifswald, you know, went through Stettin, then got as far as Greifswald, and then Hamburg in the end.
Right. So, but you eventually got back to Switzerland?
Oh, yes. Must have been later.
It must have been nice. Yes, those 2 years were very... Well, the book actually tells all about those 2 years, and I'm itching to read it. I've got a copy in my hand here. But Helga, tell me about the accident of meeting Hitler.
Well, that was before the war, actually. That was in 1938. Hitler used to come to the different towns, and of course he came to Königsberg too. And on that particular day, I had a piano lesson in town.
And how old were you?
14. And I got a piano lesson in a town, and my father, because his business was not in Königsberg, would only come home for the weekend. So when I finished my lesson, I thought I'd buy some flowers. There was a woman selling a few violets, and I bought a little bunch of flowers. There were crowds of people lining the road, and particularly the Hitler Youth, but of course I didn't belong to the Hitler Youth because I was Swiss. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, if I could cross the main road, I could go along the side streets and I would get home, because there was no tram running because of Hitler. Mm-hmm. So I pushed through the people, and I thought I heard some motorbikes, but I didn't take much notice of it. And then the Hitler Youth didn't want to let me get through, but suddenly somebody sort of started to talk, and there was a hole, and I was dived through, and I got into the road.
Desperate to get across that road. Yeah.
So it was a very big road, and I sort of shot into the road. And round the corner in the car came Hitler. And I just sort of stood there and I thought, oh dear, do I go back or do I run across? And one of the SS men jumped off the car and came towards me, because, you see, I had those flowers in my hand. I'd forgotten about those. And he thought I wanted to give Hitler the flowers. So he took my hand and he said, come on then, you can give the Führer the flowers. I said, well, they're really for my father. I sort of whispered it, all frightened, you see. But no, he dragged me along, and Hitler looked down, and my arm just came up, and he took the flowers, and then he said, you're not in uniform. Because, you see, every child at the age of 10 had to join the Hitler Youth, and of course then they were in uniform, and I wasn't. So I said, well, I'm Swiss. But he stared at me, and he had cold blue eyes, and having heard so much about him, I think I was rather more scared than anything else, and I wanted to get away.
Yes.
And although I said they were for my father, the flowers, I don't think he took any notice of it, and people were shouting and screaming, and the SS men said, oh, run off, you've given him the flowers. I said, that's all right. So I just ran home. And my father, when he heard about it, he was rather concerned, because he felt, being Swiss, he didn't want a lot of fuss made.
Yeah.
And he said, I hope nobody's taking a photograph, because they like to take photographs and put it in the paper then. And then when I came to school the next day, all my school friends said, fancy you meeting Hitler and giving him flowers, and you don't even belong to the Hitler Youth, because they absolutely adored Hitler.
Really?
All the young people did, yes, yes.
Well, who would you compare him to now? What sort of figurehead would you compare him to in this day and age?
I don't think there's anybody like him. No.
I mean, the charisma and the power that he had. I mean, was it like a pop star like Michael Jackson or somebody
no,
like that?
No, because Michael... No, I don't think it's the same. Although they adored him, I think they were a little bit afraid of him at the same time. Mm-hmm. You had both of it. Of course, before the war, when he came into power, he was very good to the people, because there was an awful lot of unemployment, mm-hmm. and that disappeared. But of course, we mustn't forget that he got the money for that from the Jewish people.
Yeah,
you see, he took it from the Jews and helped the German people. So they got jobs and they earned money, and was that that's fine. That's all they wanted from life. So they adored him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They didn't look any further, did they?
No.
Now, tell me how you feel now living in the West. I mean, you're older now and you can assess everything. You've written this book. Obviously, a lot of these feelings have come out, and you can live with them now far more so than perhaps before you let them out, before you wrote it. How do you feel about the overall situation? Do you still feel a part of Eastern Europe, or do you feel very resentful?
I think I feel resentful because the part we lived in is still Russian. Mm-hmm. And although I'm not German, I think it should have been given back to Germany, and then even we might have got something back again, or some recompensation or something.
Do you feel hardly done by, because you can't go back there, and well, I mean, you can go back there, but because those childhood memories, those places have been taken away and changed?
I don't want to go back.
Don't
I want
you?
To remember it the way it was when
right.
I was young.
Yeah.
Because I've met one or two of my school friends, actually, who have been back.
Mm-hmm.
And they regretted it very much.
Did they?
Yes. They said it looked shocking. But this is the part which is still Russian. This isn't the Eastern German part which become now the whole of Germany. You see, the part where we lived in Königsberg is still Russian.
Russian. Mm.
And they want that part because it's a Russian harbour. And they want
yes.
to, you see. So they won't give it back. I don't think so. And it looks today just the same as when the war finished. There's nothing been rebuild,
and they've just let it run down.
Yes, yes.
Are you happy in Britain?
Oh yes, I think I'm very anglicised now. Yes, yes, I am.
Helga, you're speaking tomorrow at the Chilterns Writing Group, which is in the library room at Wendover at 8 p.m.
Yes,
and anyone can go down to W.H. Smith's in High Wycombe and pick up this book. I would recommend it. Just speaking to you and seeing how warm and genuine you are and how brave you are to have got it all out of your system, I think it's definitely worth a read. So it's been lovely speaking to you. Thank you very much for coming in. And thank you also, Bob. That's her husband. He's sitting there smiling away, admiring his wife while she speaks on such a heavy topic. We'll get back to some music now. Let's have... hang on. She's going to say something else. What would you like to say?
I just wanted to say that it's published by Verona Publishing, because I think if you just go into W.H. Smith and only just say Helga, you might not.
Okay. Yes, it is, and it's a beautiful red cover with where did you get the picture on the front from?
Well, it was just designed for the book, because that refugee track which you see at the front,
mm-hmm.
The person in the back could have easily been me.
Really?
Because
is that how you looked?
Yes, yes, that's all. Well, some people used to put sacks over their heads with just holes cut in for the eyes, because it was so cold.
Yes, I can
it
imagine.
It was so cold. It was freezing.
It's quite amazing. And you nearly died, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
In the
oh,
hospital
yes.
once you'd finished.
Yes, once I finished, I nearly did. Yes.
Look, I could talk to you for hours, Helga. Unfortunately, I've got the news coming up and we've got to play a few more songs. Thank you so much for coming in. Let's have a breath of fresh air with Love is a Beautiful Thing.
Yes.